All right. Well, let's get started. As we stare at the end of the year in the face, we must be willing to do some sober accounting of what we have done with the most precious resource that we have, which is what? Time. And we also got to look at the possibilities as we enter into the next year. So today we're going to continue our series on vision, our vision series of where God is taking Shiloh into the future, into 2019. I want to tell you a little bit about that. So I've titled this particular message, Seasons. Seasons. All right? Our God is a God of seasons. Ecclesiastes, the book of the Bible that most readily addresses questions of existence, poses this in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Hallelujah. A time to be born and a time to die. And there's a time to plant or to sow and a time to harvest. And I want to tell you that many of the frustrations of human beings come from misunderstanding what season of life they are in. For example, we all know young people that want to get into relationships and act married, right? And we have some married people that want to act single. Come on. Is that okay if I say that today? How about this one? Young professionals want to have now what it took others to gain in a lifetime. Come on. Just give me some Dave Ramsey some pointers here. By the way, we're going to be starting a Financial Peace University class in January, right, sometime? So more news on that coming, okay? That's not what I wanted to share, but, you know, since I was there. And how about this one? This is the era that we're in, the millennials. Everybody wants instant growth and gratification. Come on. Let's have it now. Come on. Let's have it quickly. We're just impatient, you know, with processes. My daughter, I'm always telling her, you know, you need to be patient. You need to wait. I cannot be patient. I gotta have it now. Come on. Give me the movie now. It's like, no, you need to wait. It's my turn. And she'll give me like a minute. And says, okay, it's my turn again. It's like, no, let me watch my show. Then you can watch one of your shows. You know, it's just, there's no patience there. So God wants you to understand what season in your Christian walk you're in. I want to talk today about the seasons or the stages of Christians. For you to know how to identify where you're at and what you need to be doing about it. Is that okay? So, it's a really cool verse that God gave me today, which confirmed the message for us. Check this out, Job, it's not going to be up there. Job chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, all right? And there's a psalm that says, the heavens declare the glory of God. But this is what Job chapter 12 says, just as the animals, and they will teach you. As the birds of the sky, and they will tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish in the sea speak to you. Isn't it crazy? It says, just as the animals. God has a lot of lessons for us through creation. And so today, I want to talk to you about the monarch butterfly and the cycle that it goes through. Is that okay? We have a lot to learn from the monarch butterfly. So I show up here, you know, all the four different stages, okay? The first stage of a monarch butterfly is the eggs. This stage takes about 3 to 8 days. They're about 1.2 millimeters in size. The females lay the eggs on the underside of leaves during the spring and summer months to protect them. And they're especially susceptible to enemies like ants and wasps. The next stage is the caterpillar or larva stage. This lasts about 2 weeks, and this is a period of great appetite. You know, they go from very small, from we already said 1.2 millimeters, you know, in the egg stage, and they go all the way, some of them up to 45 millimeters. Okay, so 45 millimeters would be like that big. Okay, so they go from here to here in that time span. So they're just eating, right? And even within that, there's like five substages, which I'm not going to get into. The next one is where you see number three, is the pupa or the chrysalis. Sometimes they call it the cocoon stage. And this, when it will use silk to suspend itself while generating a green exoskeleton to protect itself. Now, nothing seems to be happening on the outside. It seems like it's just dormant. But there's a lot of stuff going on inside. Much change and transformation. An adult butterfly is developing there. And before coming out of the cocoon, it will struggle to squeeze itself out of it. But this difficulty must occur so that the fluids can be pumped into its wings and so that it can be fully mature and be able to fly. All right? And so then finally we have stage number four, which is an adult butterfly, which is ready now to reproduce and to go through dispersion. Basically, just go out and roam and you know, feed yourself and mate and have, you know, more eggs and babies. Right? They go out and populate their territories. But one amazing quality about the monarch butterfly is that they're found all the way from Canada, and they migrate all the way to southern Mexico. They travel for thousands of miles on their migration. Now, what's really unique about this migration is that it doesn't happen for every butterfly. It only happens about every fourth or fifth generation. But the most amazing thing is that they go to the exact same tree that some of them were, their prior generations were birthed on. Isn't that crazy? They actually have these amazing sanctuaries. Most of the time, you'll find them roaming around east of the Rockies in the U.S. And they have an amazing DNA that tells them, you know, when to winter in the warmer climates and when to move northward as they procreate and where they and placing their eggs on milkweed. It has to be milkweed, and they always go to these trees in Mexico. They're called. Let me see if I have the name. Oyamel firs. Okay. So what is amazing about the monarch butterfly is that it has this DNA in this little egg. It has this genetic code. And you know what? The full DNA of a full-grown butterfly is found there. And it will tell it when the right seasons have come. So I want to tell you now, apply it to our lives, that each one of you, when you believe, when you said yes to Jesus, you asked him to be your Lord and Savior, the word tells us that you were sealed with the spirit of the promise. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes and connects with your spirit. Hallelujah. And you have this connection with the Holy Spirit. And yet now you have the DNA of God inside of you. Come on. And there's a mature believer inside of you. Come on, tell the person next to you, you have a mature believer inside of you. God is going to draw it out if you let him. If you let him. Come on. You got to go through the stages like the butterfly. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. What does it say there? We have received all of this by coming to know him. Right? You were sealed by the Spirit of the promise, we said. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So I want to post to you, you cannot go from brand new believer to mature believer in a day or a week, because you cannot skip the stages, the seasons, the challenges of God. If you're going through troubles, you need to change your perspective now. And know that you're in the middle of one of God's seasons or stages of maturity for your life. God is doing an amazing work, a marvelous work inside of you. You need to see it. The DNA of God is working all that out in you. And you may think, oh, I'm just going through troubles. No. You're going through a season of God. Come on. So I want to talk to you about these four stages of maturity of a believer. Number one, salvation. Salvation is the first stage, and we all need to go there. This is when you receive the fact that you believe that Jesus is the only way to erase your sin to justify your sin. When you come to terms with the fact that you are a sinner and that you're on a path towards hell. It is when you realize that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, and you surrender gladly to Him. And this takes spiritual revelation. And God uses many circumstances and people to deliver this message to you. John 3:16 through 18, you should know the scriptures, or at least verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Him to condemn you. You may be right now living a sinful life, and you don't know how to get out of it. Well, God the Father sent Jesus not to condemn you, but that through Him you might be saved, that the world through Him might be saved. And verse 18 says, he who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So see, God's not judging you. You've already been judged. You've already been condemned. But God is doing something about it. He sent Jesus your way. Hallelujah. So that's stage number one. So as we read, salvation is a belief that alters behavior. You cannot say you believe, yet do nothing about it. Biblical belief requires a shift. Being willing to identify with Jesus. But remember, it is based on the merits of what Jesus did on the cross. All right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you all know this. This is rudimentary stuff for most believers. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Some of you need to receive the gift of grace today. It says, not of works. You can't earn it, lest anyone should boast. So just like for the butterfly egg, this is a very vulnerable stage, which we call being born again. You're a baby. And you crave the spiritual milk, like it says in 1 Peter 2. You highly depend on others to sustain you. Come on. Mature believers must be ready to tend to your questions, to your doubts, to the pitfalls. However, there is an acceleration in salvation, a new joy, but there are also pitfalls. And many fall prey at this stage because they do not stay connected to spiritual parents and mentors. It is very important, if you're a new believer, that you stay connected to your spiritual parents and mentors. So that takes us to stage number two, season number two, connection. You must be connected. You need to become permanently connected to the body of Christ. In John 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Once again, creation shows us, right? And then verse 5 says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a time where every bit of spiritual food you can take can have visible changes in your life. Just like with a caterpillar stage, the spiritual hunger stemming from salvation keeps you motivated. But you need to know that faith has a seed. Faith is a seed, and Satan does not like that. Just as Satan tries to kill babies after conception, and any time during that month, pregnancy through abortion, Satan wants for the faith of a baby Christian to be aborted. Are you at the connection stage? In Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, Jesus likened the word of truth to seeds falling on different kinds of ground. There is truth that is just not understood by the unbeliever. That's the first kind of seed. It says it falls on the wayside. It means that the unbeliever just doesn't get it. You know, maybe you read the scriptures before, you just didn't get it. But all of a sudden, it became apparent to you. There was a seed of faith that was placed. And so Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. Check this out. It says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he or she who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he or she stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word And then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches begin to choke the word. And at that point, he becomes unfruitful. There are those who hear the word, but if they're not connected to Jesus and to his body, the seed of faith can dry out. The enemy can begin to place thorns of doubts and confusion. And those people do not persist in the faith. Now, this stage begins immediately after salvation. As if you remember when we've talked about it in the last few weeks, there was those that were called by Jesus to follow him, and among them were the 12. In Luke 6, it said that he went a step further. I don't want you to just follow me. I want you to be my disciple. I don't want you to just follow me. I want you to be my disciple. I don't want you to just come to church. I want you to be a disciple. I want you to be connected directly to me because I am the vine and you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm going to train you from here on out to prepare you for the next stage. Amen? Hallelujah. The connection phase is about group ministry. That's where the small group ministry begins. It is imperative that every believer have a small group to be connected to. If you're not already in a small group of some kind, you need to be in a small group. Whether you're in a, you know, what we used to call the home fellowship group, now they're called, you know, connection groups, you know, whether for singles or couples or youth or for the worship team or for Celebrate Recovery or some kind of a small group where you're connected to other believers that are going to encourage you and train you in the faith. Amen? This connection phase in our vision involves taking care of the new believer with the goal of being baptized in water. This is the phase where you should be baptized in water. Also, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you need to be part of a connection group, like we said. And so one of the strategies that God has given us to cement this phase is what we're calling the pre-encounter phase or the foundation phase. So in January sometime, we're going to be unleashing, you know, the new discipleship vision for the house. And it's going to be one where there's going to be some foundation classes that we're going to give you to prepare you in your new faith. Now, you might have said, you know what? I've been a believer for years. But you know what? Some of you became baby Christians and then you were kind of orphaned. You were never really picked up by a spiritual father or mother, you know, and trained you in the faith. And so you grew up with all kinds of hang-ups. You know, the enemy has deposited a lot of bad seeds inside of you and has stolen some of the things that you had received. And so now you're just kind of a malnourished believer. But I want to tell you that God has a way for you. He's put in a season before you where he wants to restore you. He wants to give you the right nutrients by putting you, number one, like I said, in a small group of some kind. Number two, he wants you to make sure you get the foundations of the faith, you know, the basic beliefs that we have. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go into a retreat. We want to take, you know, as many of you, you know, sign up, you know, and it's voluntary. We're not going to force anyone. Anybody says, you know what, I'm ready to do this. We're going to take you on a two-day retreat. And we're just going to say, God, we're set aside this weekend to just be alone with you. And we want everything that you have for us. You know, empty me of me and fill me with you. Let it be less of me and more of you, as John the Baptist said. That's all I want in my life. Come on. I'm giving you vision here. Some deep ministries coming your way. And you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit to receive the true vision of God for your life. Amen. And after you've done that, that brings us to the preparation stage. That's the preparation season. This is the cocoon phase for the believer. It's when they decide to be intentional in their development and begin to adopt certain disciplines in their walk. They say, I'm going to have daily reading of the scriptures. I'm going to set up a time of prayer. You know, and that's going to become the greatest source of preparation for you. The day that you said, I'm going to, you know, dedicate this in my life. Hallelujah. This is when you begin to prepare for the call of God in your life. Hallelujah. He's going to be speaking to you. He's going to confirm what you were designed to do. You're going to be attached, yes, to spiritual mentors and coaches who are going to guide you, encourage you, but they're also going to hold you accountable. Amen? Jesus modeled this, and he spent 3.5 years with his disciples. Not only did he save them, not only then did he call them, but he prepared them. You know, they were well connected to him. And then he watched their behavior and then he pruned them as they went along. Amen. When Paul traveled delivering the gospel, he also saw the need to spend time teaching in order to develop mature believers in Corinth. And we see in Acts 18, he connected with a couple. Amen. He said, hey, I'm coming to your house. Their name was Aquila and Priscilla. Amen. And later, these two became great ministers. Why? Because Paul spent some time with them. And we see it in Acts chapter 18, verse 11. It says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So what made them strong believers? What made them prepared? Is because they spent some time with a seasoned believer, a spiritual mentor, you know, like Paul. And he poured everything that he had into them. And one day he took off, I got to go to the next city. But you know what? We see later on, we see in the letters of Paul, he says, I'm so pleased with Aquila and Priscilla. They're great for the ministry. I love what they're doing down there in Corinth. Amen? So the strategy that God has given us is to have a one-year-long discipleship program. But it's not, you know, you don't have to commit for the whole year. We do it in chunks. We're going to have, after you finish the foundations course and the encounter, we're going to have three levels, you know, of preparation, three levels of discipleship built in for you to grow, you know, in the doctrine, in the faith, but also in the practical aspects of the faith. We don't want you to just have a bunch of head knowledge. We want you to have, you know, some practical experiences. Amen. Coupled with the mentorship of seasoned believers, they're going to guide you along the way. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to summarize a little bit. You know, the salvation and the connection phase, a lot of times, you know, it feels like a lot of no's. You know, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. God's beginning to set limits in your life. I want you to stay protected. I don't want you to fall into pitfalls. So don't do this. So some people, you know, they get tired of that. They're like, wait a second. There's a lot of no's in this Christianity thing. But they don't know that the preparation phase is about going from no to a yes. Going no to a yes. You begin to learn the yeses of God. Did you know that one of the names of Jesus is the Amen? He's the yes of God. He's the faithful witnesses in Revelation. He's the yes. And you begin to find out, man, there's pleasures at God's right hand. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when you begin to connect with Jesus on the yes level, oh, man, you're on your way. You begin to say, man, what a delight to serve Jesus. God wants you to go from all the no's and go into the yes. You know, don't run away from hell. Run to Jesus. It may look the same, but it's not the same. I'm telling you. Some of you are like, I just don't want the flames to catch up with me. But some of you have your eyes so set on God. God, what do you want for my life? Oh, I love spending time with you. I want to serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Hallelujah. So you got to go from the no's to the yeses. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that brings us to the last stage, fruitfulness. Number four, the season of fruitfulness. Come on. And this is not something that you get with a piece of paper. It just happens. All of a sudden, it's like the Midas touch. God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Listen to her. And it seems like everything you touch just turns to gold. Blessing here. Fruit there. Growth there. You know, salvation here. Encouragement there. Come on. You know, there's a season of fruitfulness coming to you. Some of you are already there. Amen. But there's some of you, God wants to bring you out, you know, from salvation, you know, to connection, to preparation, and bring you into fruitfulness. Another name for that is multiplication. Amen. Hallelujah. This will be the season when you will make the greatest impact in the kingdom. In one way or another, and depending on what your calling is and what your giftings are, you're going to not only win souls for Christ, but you're going to help to connect them. And you're going to help to disciple them. Come on. Some of you are just going to be great in the marketplace, you know, reaching people in the marketplace. Also making a lot of money to fund the ministry. Come on. You know, God is gifting you some of those ways. God's grace on your life. Hallelujah. So like I said, it's not achieved by a degree. We can't just train you, say you're mature. You know, it's an experiential thing, and it will be revealed. As a matter of fact, we believe that the callings are confirmed in community. Yeah, that's right. Say this with me. Callings are confirmed in community. Everybody begins to say, you know what? man, I really like how he operates. I really like how she teaches. Man, I just see the anointing of God. I can tell she's been with Jesus this week. I can tell there's a peace about her. I can tell there's victory in her walk. I see a skip in her step. I see a gleam in her eye, and I want that. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And when people can see readily the fruit in your life, God is going to open doors for great impact in the kingdom. Some of you, we're going to have to let you go like a butterfly. God will say, your season here at Shiloh is done. We're sending you to remote places. Amen. Just like Chuck and Robin are in Guatemala. Hallelujah. We may need to send you to some other place. To maybe not across the world. Maybe just be to another state to plant the church or something like that. Or to go to Bible school or something for greater preparation. I don't know. Hallelujah. But we're going to send you out. Jesus said, as I have been sent, so I send you. Come on. Are you ready to be sent? If you are, I'm in the fruitfulness stage. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. I mean, of the words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. It's basically saying some of you need to be in the fruitfulness stage, but you're still in the connection, you know, or the preparation stage. The discipleship stage. Some of you may not even be saved. But that's why we're here today. For you to receive the gospel. The fruitful stage is marked by one who can discern biblically between good and evil. Someone who is not swayed by the changing culture. Come on. And who walks in constant victories. I'm not telling you that you never sin again, but I'm telling you it's just victory, victory, victory. Your lows are shallower and your highs are, you know, taller. Come on, just higher than ever. You just go from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Come on. I know some of you are there. Hallelujah. God blessed them with multiplication. Come on, he said, Adam and Eve, I bless you. Go be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And the moment when you begin to reach to others, you're multiplying yourself. When you're discipling others, you're multiplying yourself. You're imprinting the image of God into those people. But you need to believe that this is for you. The DNA of God is inside of you. Don't think, oh, it's for somebody else. You don't know me. I'm an unlearned person. Come on, Jesus chose unlearned people on purpose. So you wouldn't say, come on, I can't do this. He said he chose the vile things of this world to you know, confound the wise. To say, hey, it's not about the degrees. It's about the fruit in your life. And if a fisherman can do it, and a hated tax collector can do it, you can do it. Come on. Say, the vision of God is for me. Say, I have the DNA of God inside of me. Come on. You getting excited about this? Come on. Let's go have some fruit. The only pitfall for this is a stagnation. God doesn't want you to. There's always growth. Not like the cocoon. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like nothing's happening. And you're like, man, I don't feel like I'm progressing. But you know what? Sometimes God's doing stuff in the inside. You know, there's like a stage and there's like you get behind the scenes, you know, behind the curtains, God's doing things. He's preparing things for your life. You know, there's some people that you're going to network with, you know, a relationship that you need to come into. But until they're ready, he can't release it to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes you grow a little bit impatient, but you can't. You got to wait. You know, every season, you know, has its time. Jesus told a parable. He said, hey, there's a man who needed some workers, and he went out, you know, to the street and said, hey, I need to pick up some workers. And he said, he picked up some at the third hour. Hey, if you come work for me, I'm going to give you one denarius, you know, come work for me. And then he says, he came back and said, I need more workers. And he went back at the sixth hour and said, I'm going to give you, you know, one dinar, you know. And then he picked up some, you know, at the ninth hour. And then finally at the 11th hour, you know, he picked up some people that only worked for 1 hour. And so he began to pay them in reverse. Okay, those of you that were here with me for 1 hour, here's your dinar. So the ones that were there since the third hour, they were like, oh, I'm supposed to get a lot more because I've been here all day. Come on, God rewards everybody the same. Hallelujah. He rewards preparation and readiness. You know, like in the army, every unit's supposed to be in a permanent stage of readiness so they can deploy if needed. Come on, you need to be ready in readiness. And you say, hey, you know, I see people just doing stuff. I feel like I'm studying and I'm helping here and there. I'm involved in little ministries here and there. I don't feel like I'm doing great stuff for God. But God's saying, you're right where you're supposed to be. I'm preparing some things for you. Just be faithful with that. I'm working some things out over here. Just be faithful with the little things, and then I will entrust you with greater things. Amen. So don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise if God puts you in something that seems menial. You know, you may say, all I'm doing is cleaning toilets. All I'm doing is picking up after people. You know, disinfecting toys for the children's ministry. All I'm doing is taking out the trash. You know, be faithful with God, because God doesn't skip a beat. You know, and even though he may pull you at the 11th hour, you say, hey, I'm 70 years old. I think I'm done. He says, no, you know, the 11th hour, I have a ministry for you. I'm going to pull you into a ministry, but you need to be ready. You need to be out there on the road. Say, God, whenever you're ready to employ me, I'll be ready here for you. And he's going to reward everybody the same. Everybody the same. He rewards actual doing the same as preparation. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a just, and he's a God, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So what stage are you at is my question for you. I'm almost done here. And I mean this. I mean this. I've been told that I say I'm almost done, and then I take a long time, you know. If you're a baby Christian, then you need to attach yourself to the vine to draw the life-giving sap from the body of Christ. Come on. Some of you are kind of loose, just kind of wondering about, you know, going from place to place. God is saying, plant yourself in the body. Come on. If you're in the preparation phase, you need to commit yourself to the training opportunities he has for you. Get into the Word. Develop a prayer time, you know, quiet time in your life if you're not doing that. And maybe you said, I used to do it, but then I fell off the bandwagon. You know, hey, it took me a long time to develop a prayer, you know, in reading discipline. It took me a long time. I go to conferences, yes, I'm going to do it, like I've told you before. I do it every day for like a couple of weeks, and then I skip a day, and then I skip 2 days. Next thing you know, it's been like a week or 2 weeks before I cracked open my Bible. But you know what? I stayed at it. And eventually, it became a discipline in my life. Eventually, you know, something happened. And now I can't live without it. I got to have my Word. I got to have my time with God. I feel like something's wrong. I feel like I'm fiending if I haven't spent some time with Him. Come on. It just becomes a part of you. So some of you are ready to train, and God is getting ready to prune you. Now He's going to prune some of you. You know, some trees have to be pruned so they can be more fruitful, right? Some of you have plants and you have flowers. You got to go out there every year and prune them a little bit. Otherwise, they're not going to flower as well. They're not going to develop fruit as well. Well, God will do the same thing in your life. You know, there's always another layer that God wants to peel from you like an onion. But you need to let Him do this in your life. You have the DNA of God. He's got a process already in line for you. You just need to say yes. Stop saying no. Say yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.